Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show across the nation from WSB in Atlanta. I'm actually in the studio today. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Y'all, I didn't want to talk about this at this moment, but I need to talk about this at this moment. Listen, you're about to be really, really, probably really pissed off. And I think you probably, this is something you probably should be mad about. General McKenzie is the head of U.S. Central Command. He announced no ISIS-K fighters were killed in the U.S. drone strike in Kabul on August 29th. 10 civilians were killed, including 7 children in a Toyota. No disciplinary action will be taken. The U.S. military stands by the intel leading to the strike, and General Mark Milley called it a righteous strike and won't walk that back. Concurrently, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki today is announcing that the border agents who were on horseback, who were accused of using whips when it was actually their horse reins, have been placed on leave pending a Department of Homeland Security investigation. The president remains committed to putting in place a humane, orderly immigration system, she says. The silence is intentional. I'm trying to collect my thoughts without using profanity. Okay. This is profoundly screwed up. The press in this country, for progressives, has routinely smeared law enforcement officers. And the White House, the left, the Democrats, the partisan leaders have responded by buying the stories that have already been discredited and debunked and punishing the law enforcement officers. I'm reminded of the situation in Atlanta with Officer Garrett Roth. If you're not familiar with the story, it made national headlines. It led to a little girl dying. Officer Roth and another officer went to a Wendy's south of Atlanta, South Atlanta, not a great neighborhood. And a guy named Rashard Brooks was asleep in the drive-thru of the Wendy's holding up the line. So they got the guy, woke him up, got him out of the line. He was clearly intoxicated. They pulled him over. They got him situated. They were there for like 45 minutes, calming the guy down, making sure he's okay, getting him settled, sobering him up. Turns out the guy had an arrest record, and it would be bad news for him to go to jail. And they determined, based on their protocol, they needed to put him in the squad car and take him downtown. And Brooks went from being super calm to hyper-violent. Fought the police, shoved one to the ground, gave him a concussion, grabbed his taser, took off. Officer Roth pursued. Brooks turned, attempted to fire his taser. Officer Roth pulled his gun, fired. Brooks was dead. The left armchair quarterback then. So, he didn't even, Brooks, he didn't have a terrible aim. It was a taser. It was a taser, not lethal. Now, 2 weeks before, what you need to understand is that police officers were punished in Atlanta for using tasers on some college kids. And the politicians and the DA at the time said a taser is a deadly weapon. 2 weeks later, the Rashard Brooks situation happens. They fired a taser. It's not a deadly weapon. They used a deadly weapon on a guy with a taser. He wasn't using a deadly weapon. 2 weeks before, the same politicians and district attorney said a taser was a deadly weapon. Fast forward to these 2 weeks, they're like, it's not a deadly weapon. Why did he fire his gun? Because Brooks went from nothing to violent, gave the other police officer a concussion. Had he been successful in tasering Roth, he could have taken his gun and done God knows what with it. Rolf did his training. And now Rolf, by the way, is charged with murder. They made the police the bad guy. The police stopped policing. Now, a reporter for the El Paso Times, a reporter who's actually from New York City, went to New York University, comes down to Texas as an environmental reporter on climate change, covers the border situation, wants to take a climate change angle with it undoubtedly, sees horseback riding Border Patrol agents flinging their horse reins, steering their horse, takes a picture of it. It looks like the Border Patrol agent is whipping a Haitian refugee. He's not. He's steering his horse. It goes viral on the internet, and the Border Patrol agents on horseback have been placed on leave. Meanwhile, we killed 10 civilians in Afghanistan, including 7 kids. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who, by the way, was collaborating with China behind President Trump's back, called it a righteous strike. The president of the United States said it was proof we had over-the-horizon capabilities to stop a terrorist attack. It turns out we didn't stop a terrorist attack. We killed an employee of an American nonprofit who was helping save Afghan lives. And his children. We killed him and his children. And no disciplinary action will come of that. This is unjust. This is outrageous. And by the way, you know what happened after Garrett Rolf was charged? Well, first of all, the Black Lives Matter Brigade and Antifa took over the Wendy's and declared it an autonomous zone like the hipsters in Portland have done. A mother and her little girl got off the interstate, realized they had taken a wrong turn and turned around to the parking lot, and they opened fire and killed the little girl. The mayor of Atlanta had told the police to leave the little autonomous zone alone. They did. A little girl died because of it. And the police in Atlanta walked off the job. Now there's a crime wave in the city of Atlanta. All the logical consequence of turning the police into bad guys when they did nothing wrong. What do you think is going to happen at the border now with the Border Patrol agents? The Border Patrol agents were told to secure the area. They were doing their best to secure the area. The media slandered them, accused them of using whips when it was just their horse reins. And now the Biden administration is siding with the media. Even the Secretary of Homeland Security came out and said it wasn't a whip, it was their horse reins. And now they're siding. They're siding with the media that lied. They're siding with the people who slandered the Border Patrol. We're going to see a worse situation. We're going to see a more dangerous situation. We're going to see a more unstable situation because the media is out to drive an agenda for the left that paints the good guys as the bad guys and the bad guys as the good guys, that paints law enforcement as bad and the Haitians swarming the border as somehow innocent people here or breaking our law coming into this country across the border like that. And they're mischaracterizing the situation. They're lying about the situation. And the Biden administration is siding with the liars. On top of that, the Biden administration is announcing they're opposed to a provision in the National Defense Authorization Act, the NDAA. It's the funding appropriation measure for the Defense Department. A bipartisan group has put a provision in that says if you refuse the COVID vaccine and are discharged, it'll be an honorable discharge. The Biden administration has decided that if you refuse the vaccine in the military, you will be dishonorably discharged. And they're opposed to a provision in the law that would prevent that from happening. They want it taken out. The law would allow the Biden administration to fire anyone who doesn't take the vaccine, but would say you can't dishonorably discharge someone who objects to the COVID vaccine, and the Biden administration wants that gone. Now, I've got a friend of mine, good friend. he'll listen to the podcast. He's 6 months from retirement in the military and is thinking he's going to be discharged dishonorably because he doesn't want the COVID vaccine. And he was fine with taking it until it was demanded that he take it, and they made such a big deal with it, and he's dug in his heels. And you can think maybe he needs to reconsider that. And part of me thinks, yeah, maybe he should if he wasn't opposed to it. The commander-in-chief gives orders all the time, and this is just the latest order. And I think it's kind of ridiculous, and so does he, but I don't know that it's worth throwing your career away when you got 6 months left. But the Biden administration keeps making the good guys the bad guys. I'm pro-vaccine. Our whole family's had it. My wife volunteered to be a tester for the Moderna booster. The Moderna booster's not approved, but she signed up and was able to take it. She's had some side effects, but far better than the alternative with lung cancer, far better than the alternative. I'm pro-vaccine, but I'm anti-mandate, even in the military. And time and again, the Biden administration, when push comes to shove, they're making our soldiers the bad guys, but not the senior staff, not the senior elites, just the rank and file. They're the bad guys. The Border Patrol, they're the bad guys. The police, they're the bad guys. Murder is up 30% in the United States of America. I assure you, the police are not the bad guys. I assure you, the Border Patrol are not the bad guys. I assure you, the rank and file in the military are not the bad guys. But if you're in the media, if you're on the left, if they're in uniform, they're bad. It's white supremacy, you know. The military is white supremacy. The police force, white supremacy. The Border Patrol, white supremacy. They've internalized the nonsense, the intersectional bat crap crazy nonsense from academia. An Afghan worker of an American company, of an American nonprofit, who was working overtime to try to help people flee Afghanistan. He and his children were eliminated with a missile strike by the United States. A righteous strike, said the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They said he was a terrorist, and he wasn't. No one will be held accountable for that. What they thought were explosives being loaded into the back of his car were jugs of water he was taking home to his family because their neighborhood had lost water service. No one will be held responsible for killing this man. The media lied about the Border Patrol agents and said they were whipping Haitians at the border. They weren't. But the media lied about it. It went viral. The Border Patrol agents who were on horseback, they're now all suspended, pinning an investigation into a lie. What's that going to do for morale? What's that going to do for the rest of the Border Patrol? It's going to make the situation worse. It's easily foreseeable. And the Biden administration would rather cater to progressives, intersectional wokes. They're scared of Boko Haram. This is awful stuff. And I think the American public will remember these sorts of things when they go to the polls. Remember in Iowa, the president's popularity there is at 37%. And the number one reason why is incompetence. The number two reason is Afghanistan. Don't tell me these sorts of things don't have long-term consequences for the president. It just, the election can't come soon enough. This hour of the program brought to you by First Liberty Building and Loan. They are in Noonan, Georgia, and they can help you anywhere in the United States of America, from Hawaii to Maine, from Washington to Florida. They want to help your business become a bigger business. What you do is go to FirstLibertyGA.com, FirstLibertyGA.com. And spend 10 minutes with them, see if they can help you get to yes on your loans. They make their own loans, and we're talking six-figure loans, FirstLibertyGA.com. Now, let us go to the phones. I want to start with Sharon calling. Let's see if I can fire up the phones here. Sharon, welcome to the program.
Hello, Eric. How are you today?
I'm great.
Fantastic. My statement is just that when the administration had released the date that we were going to leave Afghanistan, and, you know, the hoopla came about, and Biden said the buck stops stopped with him. So now that there's not going to be anyone held accountable for these deaths, is he going to step forward and take the responsibility?
Yeah, you would like to think that, wouldn't you? No, of course not. And this is such a frustrating thing here. Listen, Sharon, I appreciate the phone call. It's so frustrating. Someone should be held accountable for that. They made it a big deal. They made it as proof of our over-the-horizon strike capabilities, and we don't have them. We don't have over-the-counter strike capabilities. It's pretty clear. In fact, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, testified before Congress.
Just a very brief question, because I got a lot of questions from Secretary Mayorkas. Does the situation in Afghanistan give you a concern about the possibility of terrorist networks reconstituting there and, in effect, trying to incite violence in the homeland?
And by the way, if you're hearing this out of only one side of one speaker, it's because this is how it came from Congress.
Yes, actually, there are a number of reasons why we're concerned, and recognizing the time, I'll just tick them off real quickly. One, we are, of course, concerned that that there will be an opportunity for a safe haven to be recreated there, which is certainly something that we've seen in the past, and allowing foreign terrorist organizations to operate more freely in the region. We're concerned that ISIS-K can take advantage of a significantly weakened security environment to operate more freely.
They're concerned. In fact, the data shows that Al-Qaeda and the Taliban have reorganized quicker than our intelligence expected. What did you think was going to happen? They didn't think the Taliban could take the whole country so quickly. And now it appears that Al-Qaeda is already maneuvering to become a terrorist superpower again. In fact, Leon Panetta, who was the Secretary of Defense for Barack Obama, has come out as much and is concerned about the situation. I'm kind of shocked. I guess he was the CIA director for a while, Leon Panetta.
I think that the Taliban taking over Afghanistan is pretty much the same Taliban that controlled Afghanistan on 9/11. This is a Taliban that will indeed continue to provide a safe haven for terrorists, and that spells trouble for the United States. It's clear to me that they're going to continue to support Al-Qaeda and allow Al-Qaeda to basically continue to develop and expand. And I think they will plan additional attacks on our country as well as elsewhere. We've got a lot of different ways to gather intelligence, but we're going to need strong intelligence on the ground to keep track of these terrorists. And secondly, we're going to have to be willing to do counterterrorist operations against those targets.
Against those targets, yeah. This is not a good situation for us, and it is easily foreseeable it would happen. Thanks, Joe Biden. When we come back, are your kids safe from COVID? What about that talking point that more of them have died of COVID than the flu? I've done the research on it. I want to tell you what I know when we come back. It's kind of frustrating, but there's some really good news out there as well for you about your kids, COVID, the impact it might have on them, and the future of when we may get schools completely back to normal. Hi there, it is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-973-7425. An Associated Press report caught my eye earlier today on COVID and kids. First of all, I'm perturbed, really perturbed, with the Fauci talking point. I want to play for you the first of all, what Fauci said.
So even though relatively speaking, compared to an adult, they do not get as seriously ill, we have lost more children from SARS-CoV-2 than we ever lose for influenza. And we vaccinate children against influenza.
And Dr. Osterholm on CNN.
You know, this is a challenge that all of us are confronting. I mean, the facts are one out of every 500 Americans has died from COVID virus infection in the last 18 to 20 months. This will soon, in terms of number of deaths, surpass the worst catastrophe we've had in this country ever in our history, which was the 1918 influenza pandemic. The fact of the matter is that this is killing kids right now at a rate much, much, much higher than our worst severe influenza years.
Okay. I'm actually really, really angry about this one because it's a deep misrepresentation of what's actually going on. When's the flu season? September to March, April, September, October, November, December, January, February, March, 7-8 months. And a couple of years ago, last year, there was like one child death of flu. Hardly anybody got the flu last year because everybody was at home in lockdown. COVID transmits easier than the flu. There was hardly a flu season last year. The year before, over 100 kids died. The year before that, over 100 kids died. They're comparing a 6-7 month flu season to 18 months of COVID. The COVID season, they're saying, is 18 months. That's what's going on here. That's why they can say more kids have died of COVID than kids die in a flu season, because the COVID season has been going on since January of last year. Really, February to now is one COVID season. That's why they can say that. Lindsay Tanner, writing for the Associated Press, has this story. Is the Delta variant of the coronavirus worse for kids? Experts say there's no strong evidence that it makes children and teens sicker than earlier versions of the virus, although Delta has led to a surge in infections among kids because it's more contagious. Delta's ability to spread more easily makes it more of a risk to children and underscores the need for masks in schools and vaccinations for those who are old enough, says Dr. Juan Dumois, a pediatric infectious disease specialist at Johns Hopkins All Children's Hospital in St. Petersburg, Florida. Weekly infection rates among U.S. children earlier this month topped 250,000, surpassing the wintertime peak, according to data from the American Academy of Pediatrics and Children's Hospital Association. Since the pandemic began, more than 5 million children in the U.S. have tested positive. But now listen to this. In the U.S., the hospitalization rate for COVID-19 was less than 2 per 100,000 children in late August and early September. The portion of children hospitalized with severe disease hasn't changed significantly with Delta. The sheer numbers can make it seem like children are getting sicker with the Delta variant, but experts say that doesn't appear to be the case. Most infected kids have mild infections or no symptoms and do not need to be hospitalized. COVID-19 vaccines continue to provide protection against Delta. Among children 12 and older who are eligible, the weekly hospitalization rate was 10 times higher for the unvaccinated than for those who had the shot. But still, we're not dealing with large numbers. We're dealing with hundreds when it comes to deaths in particular. And thousands to tens of thousands at a time with infection. And again, most of the infections are minor. Listen, if we were having tens of thousands of children dying of COVID, there would be a mass panic in this country. But we're talking about a few hundred. And by the way, of those few hundred, overwhelmingly they have, say it with me now, comorbidities. Pre-existing conditions. There was the kid in Louisiana, CNN highlighted, a healthy, normal 16-year-old who was having to be ventilated with COVID. And when you saw the picture of the girl, she was morbidly obese. She wasn't a healthy, normal 16-year-old. She was hundreds of pounds overweight. And they tried to define that as normal. If you want to get your kid vaccinated, get your kid vaccinated. But we need to stop the moral panic that's happening in the press. I want to go back to ivermectin. I have a very close relative of mine, very close relative, who is young, who got a bad case of COVID, went to the doctor. The doctor prescribed ivermectin. The doctor prescribed ivermectin. Why? because one of the problems, the reason that she was in so much pain, was inflammation, and ivermectin has anti-inflammatory properties. And the doctor said that the doctor has been doing this for a year to great effect, getting rid of inflammation, and now is having trouble getting the prescriptions to go through because major pharmacies aren't accepting prescriptions for ivermectin. The major pharmacies, there's a great freak out because some people went to the seed and feed and got horse level ivermectin, and the media and the FDA had a giant panic and freak out over people taking ivermectin when doctors are prescribing human level ivermectin. By the way, ivermectin was invented for people. The inventor won the Nobel Prize for medicine as a result of it. And my close relative has now been prescribed it, and it has worked to help alleviate the inflammation, as the doctor said it would, and also reduce the need for an infusion of Regeneron. And yet we're having a great, great freak out about these sorts of things. Why can't patients and their doctors have a relationship other than on abortion? The left doesn't want you to interfere with your doctor-patient relationship when it comes to birth control and abortion. But when your doctor has had great effect prescribing ivermectin to reduce inflammation, suddenly it's a national case and the doctor's going to lose their license? You can't get it? The pharmacist can't prescribe it because they'll get in trouble? This is nuts. This is really nuts. And now there's a massive, massive international freakout. Actually, it's not an international freakout. It's an American freakout over kids. Dr. Fauci, we've lost more kids to COVID than the flu. Well, because the flu runs 6 months and the COVID seasons run a year and a half. You add up multiple flu seasons to get you to the number of months that equal COVID, and guess what? More kids have died of the flu. That's not misinformation. That's not disinformation. That's the truth. And yet the social media companies would probably censor me for pointing it out. But it's true. Should you get your kids vaccinated? They say it's safe. If you don't trust it, don't do it. I'm not your doctor. I got both of my kids vaccinated. The moment it was approved for 12 and up, we got our kids vaccinated. And I'm glad we did. Because I'll tell you, there's another thing we don't talk about, and you should know this. If your kid gets COVID, my kids got COVID. By the way, I can tell you that the Moderna vaccine works because my kids got COVID. They tested negative for it, and we now know for certain they had it, given the testing they could do, the antibody testing. They definitely had COVID. It takes 15 minutes to register on the test for the antibodies. My kid registered pretty much the moment the blood touched the strip. My wife has lung cancer. Genetic. There's no cure. It'd be very bad if she got COVID. Her doctor has several similar situated patients and said most of them have died when they got COVID. He insisted she get vaccinated as soon as she could. She did. She got the Moderna vaccine. The kids got infected after my wife got the vaccine. She and I, neither of us, we were both vaccinated, never got it. Never got it. My dad was vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. He got COVID. I had the Moderna vaccine. I never got COVID. I spent 3 days in a hotel room with him. But I bring this up because my son, my 12-year-old, has had post-COVID syndrome. And it is something, if you're a parent, you need to think about when you're struggling whether or not to get your kid vaccinated or not. My son lost 20 pounds after COVID, not because of COVID, but because it changed the flavors of foods in his mouth so much, he stopped eating because everything he ate tasted like pepper. And he lost a ton of weight from post-COVID syndrome, which is a thing. We couldn't figure out what was going on with him. This is actually how we found out he had COVID, because he had been real sick. He had actually lost his sense of smell. And we thought, oh yeah, you've got COVID. And we took him and he tested negative for it. Well, no, it must be something else. Maybe you're just so stopped up you can't smell. And then he started having these weird things with taste. And And we went back to the doctor. The doctor said, this sounds like post-COVID syndrome. He tested negative, but get an antibody test. And maybe the COVID test was wrong. Sure enough, COVID test was wrong. He had COVID. And it completely changed the flavor profile of foods. It has finally started to fade, but not without ramifications. So all I'm doing is I'm telling you my lived experience as a dad with my kids. Our older daughter, she had bad migraines. We thought she had COVID. She tested negative. We're now pretty sure she as well had it. She was sick before him. And she's fine and never had fallout, but the 12-year-old did. And so we got them both vaccinated, and they did both rounds. And I'll tell you, the second round, they were sick. They were throw-up sick and fever sick. And it lasted for 12 hours, and then they were fine. And now at school, there have been a couple of waves of COVID in various groups of kids, and my kids have been fine and haven't had it. We haven't had to worry about it. We haven't had to worry about it with my wife. My wife's a champ. She just did the experimental booster from Moderna. The Moderna booster's not out yet. And she went on and got it anyway as trial run. She's been a little bit puny for a few days, but she's fine. She's on the rebound, and it's good too. And I'm just telling you about our experience. I'm not telling you what to do. Talk to your doctor. But I am going to tell you that the great freak out over kids right now, and oh my gosh, so many more kids are dying of this than the flu. It's not true. It's not true. You can see it in the data yourself. I realize that, yes, Dr. Fauci, his technical point is, yes, more kids have died of COVID than die in a flu season, but the flu season lasts 6 months, and the COVID season, we're still in the freaking first COVID season, 18 months later. These sorts of things matter, and that they can't be honest and talk about it that way undermines trust in them on everything. The data is this. The Delta variant is more contagious, so it seems like kids are falling prey to COVID more frequently than they were in the past. It's not true. More than 5 million children in the U.S. have tested positive for COVID. Overwhelmingly, they have minor cases or are asymptomatic. Less than 2 per 100,000 children in late August and September were hospitalized, the same as the last time. The portion of children hospitalized with severe disease hasn't changed significantly. Most vaccinated children have mild infections or no symptoms and do not need to be hospitalized. Those are the facts. That's not me. That's the Associated Press. You need the facts. The media is now in hysteria mode over the vaccine. They're trying to scare you into getting it. Do not live your life by fear. Be responsible. Don't tell me I don't need the vaccine because Jesus will take care of me. You're taking your heart medicine. You think Jesus isn't going to take care of you with that? Don't take that medicine either then. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you the facts. And right now, my frustration is not with people who don't want the vaccine. It's with the entire media industrial complex designed to scare the crap out of you to make you take the vaccine and have your kid take the vaccine. When if you want it, get it. Talk to your doctor. But if you don't let them scare you into getting it. Don't live by fear here. Live by prudential, responsible, respectful, informed judgment. I got the vaccine. My wife got it. It works. Our kids got it. It works. We're not worried about long-term side effects. We know the data on vaccines and how you can tell the side effects. We're not worried about them. If you are, I understand. Don't tell me you're doing research. You're just going online and finding stuff out. That's not really research. The researchers say it's okay. But also, don't be bullied by the press or anyone else into getting a vaccine if you're not comfortable. All it does is it compounds fear and uncertainty. And when it comes to children now, there's a rank hysteria that even Dr. Fauci is playing a part in, and we should push back as hard as we can on that because it is fear, it's not fact. I'll tell you another fact. This is not COVID-related. This is, I know how to get rid of the pollen and the mildew and the mold spores that are floating in your house. It's the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, and right now you can get three of them. And save $200. And it also eliminates the odors in your house. It doesn't mask the odors. It eliminates the odors, which is fantastic. So what you do is you go to EdenPureDeals.com and you click on my name, Eric Erickson. You'll see they've got a green circle around it. And you go through, you'll see the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. You can get three of them and save $200. What you do is you click on the Eden Pure 3-pack. You put it in your cart. You'll look at the price. You'll say, oh, my gosh, that's so expensive. Except then you click on the checkout button, and there's a discount box. And you put in Eric 3, E-R-I-C-K, and the number 3, no space, Eric 3. When you do that, you'll see $200 come off the price, and it'll wind up being less than $200 for three of them. One for your upstairs, one for your downstairs, one for your basement. Put it in your RV, wherever you need it. Use Eric 3, and you'll get free shipping. It's EdenPureDeals.com. Click on my name, Eric Erickson, at checkout. Use the code ERIC3. Save money, clean the air, and it's filterless. It works great. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Hi there. It is Eric Erickson here. Let us go back to the phones. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Jerry, you are going to be up next. Welcome to the program, Jerry.
Hey, thank you, Eric. Hey, real quickly, Eric, I'm frustrated with more people not using what Rush would always say, their critical thinking, when it comes to the left being just constantly caught violating their COVID protocols. And what I mean by that is, if I told you, Eric, don't go swim in that lake because there are a bunch of piranhas in there and they will eat you alive, and then you saw me next day swimming in that lake, I would hope you would say to yourself, boy, that guy's a hypocrite. Would not say that. I'd hope you would say, man, I think he might be lying about those piranhas versus just calling me a hypocrite. And I think the right just calling these people hypocrites, and they are, but I think they need to kind of just think a little further and say, man, maybe that's not true what they're exactly saying. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on that analogy, if that is
You know, Jerry, I'm glad you pointed that out, because I've said a couple of times now, we're living in the boy who cried wolf territory. And it's going to make more and more people think that none of this is real and there are problems. And, you know, a lot of it's not real. A lot of this is about control, and what's good for you is not good for them, which suggests that they don't really mean it. But the problem here is that in some cases, there are bad things. Like, I mean, COVID is a serious situation. And when people on the left they bully you and tell you things and then they don't live up to it, what's actually happening is they're creating a boy who cried wolf situation where when the real danger comes, who's going to believe them? And that, I foresee, is going to be the great problem moving forward, as we have so much instability on the horizon economically and otherwise, including the border situation. We actually need to spend a little bit of time on the border situation because while Gitmo was bad for the terrorists, Joe Biden is thinking of sending the Haitian refugees to Guantanamo Bay. And Secretary Mayorkas is saying he's working 18 hours a day and doesn't know the name of his own agency. I got the details when we come back.